Today we are going to be talking about senses. So there are five physical senses which we all learn about in school and which we use to perceive the world around us. You know, have the sense of vision, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. And we have various organs, which take in the signals from the world around us, be it the vibrations in the air, which becomes sound in our ears, or light reflecting off surfaces, which becomes sight, and things that we can see and perceive and judge the depth of things. And we also have like friction, which we can feel with our skin and get touch. And we have like the molecules in the air and in liquids, which we can taste and smell when they come on our receptors. But just having the right kind of receptor or receiver is not enough. So just as much as we cannot say a microphone can hear because it can capture vibrations, we cannot also say a camera can see because a camera can capture light. It means actually what we are sensing we are doing with our brain. Yeah, we need our brain, which is able to then take the light and form a picture out of it. When our brain is the organ responsible for taking the sound, the vibrations in your ear and translating it either into a Beethoven's melody or my practicing of the violin, which makes you go, please stop. So all of these things, you know, that all of the organs we have are just different receptors. They just receive the input. Of course, they are important for the input, but without the brain, the input doesn't help us. And that's also the reason why we can talk about training our senses. Like I'm trying to develop my taste to become a wine taster or whatever it is. Or I'm trying to train my ear if you're a musician. It's not that you suddenly have better ears, right? It's not, or when you train your sight, it's not that you suddenly have more light receptors in your eyes. It's that you're training your brain to interpret the signals better. You're training your mind to be able to take all these inputs and based on past experiences and others' experiences, you can be able to interpret it in a way that it's improved or more sensitive. Similarly, I believe also that we have spiritual senses. And I think the Bible urges us that we need to train these senses. We need to develop them. They've been entrusted to us by God, and we need to use them for his glory and use them for the edifying of the church, for encouraging the body of Christ. And today we are going to be looking at the sense of hearing, and in this case, spiritual hearing. And we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 8, from verses 4 to 18, if you have your Bibles. So this is Jesus talking to the crowds who followed him, and he was telling them a parable. So while a large crowd was gathering and many people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled upon, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar, or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now, for many years, I read this parable, and I always took away the lesson, or I interpreted it as a parable about sowing and reaping, about preaching the word of God. But as I began to study it a bit more recently, the past few weeks, I began to see that Jesus highlights a couple of verses, a couple of sentences at the beginning and at the end. And he says, after immediately telling the parable to the people, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And after explaining the meaning of the parable to the disciples, he says again, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Now this impressed upon me the fact that this parable is at its core about how we listen. It's less about the sower. The sower is doing, you know, what we are called to do. You sow the seed as far as you can, and wherever you have the opportunity, as long as you have life in you, you are to be preaching the word, you are to be ministering to people either through your actions or, you know, talking to them when you have the chance. So you spread the seed as far as you can and as wide as you can. But this parable is about the hearers, not the sower, as I had always believed. And Jesus concludes by saying, therefore, consider carefully how you listen, because whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Consider carefully how you listen. Now, hearing, just hearing something and actually listening, actively hearing, are two very different things, as many a wife or girlfriend would tell you. And this passage is not just for unbelievers. I think even Christians have a lot to learn from it as well. Because just hearing something does not transform your life. Just hearing something, there's a lot of things you hear in a day. You know, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you just, you know, there's 24-hour news cycles. There's always something, you know, to get your attention. So hearing is the first step in a transformation, but it's not the only step, and it's by far not the only thing which would change you. But you have to actively listen. You have to really pay attention to what is being said to allow it to go into your heart, to take root, and to be transformed. As we read in Romans 12 the past 2 weeks, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds can only be renewed when we actively listen to. And so Jesus teaches us about different kinds of hearers in this parable. And there are some lessons that we can draw from the ones who didn't hear well, and also some lessons that we can draw from the active listeners, from the good soil, as Jesus mentioned it. So there are four different groups. You know, we have the pathway, the rocky ground, we have the thorns, and the good soil. And the first one is the pathway. Jesus said, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So it's the sower, as I mentioned earlier, throws the seed as far and wide as he can. And some of the seed lands on the pathway. You know, pathway is open. Everyone can use the pathway. People come and go. The seed fell on it. It was trampled upon immediately, and it was picked up by the birds. Now, the Bible tells us that the God of this world has blinded the hearts of men, that they may not see the truth, they may not believe it and be saved. And this pathway so is basically hardness of heart. Now, in the world today, there's a lot of people, we have a lot of media and a lot of possibilities for people to hear the word of God. You know, the word of God goes around the world like no time before in human history, which is a great thing. But there is still a lot of hardness of heart in the people. And I don't know if you're here and you're thinking, oh, these things, I've heard them before. You know, and there's also, of course, you know, when you, as Edmond was saying, you go in some circles, especially intellectual circles, as being identifying as a Christian is seen as people who don't think, right? It's like, oh yeah, you're a Christian. Oh, really? And you know, like the gentle condescending look. And that makes it even harder for many people who have just grown up with this, you know, that they picked up from the news. And many people have the idea that they know what Christianity is about, but they don't really don't. And this is hardness of heart. Our heart is bound up in its foolishness, as the Bible says. And we never open up to allow the word of God in, which can transform our lives, which can change our hearts. And there's many people out there, you know, some I've had conversations with people, and maybe you here listening to me, and you can feel God pulling on your heart. You can feel the God tugging, knocking at your door. But just because of, you know, all the influences, maybe what you've grown up hearing about this Christianity, you close the door, and you refuse to open it. I urge you today to reconsider that. Treat it like any endeavor which you would undertake. If you heard something, investigate it. Take the time to research it. Find out what it actually is about. And the Bible promises, and I can say this with confidence because God promises, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. So instead of going about with questions and just being like, yeah, I'm not sure about these things, I don't know, whatever, you know, I don't think about it. When you know those questions are there, I would urge you to go further. To find out what is the truth. To investigate it. What do these people talk about all the time? God promises if we seek him, we will find him. In Jeremiah 29:13. And hardness of heart is not limited to just people who haven't believed or who haven't truly committed themselves to Christ. Even us as Christians can have hardened hearts. There might be a sin in your life. There might be something in your life that God is talking to you about. And every time, you know, the Holy Spirit brings conviction and you resist. I know because I've been there. You just keep resisting. You don't want to give it up. Either we are afraid, you know, that we will give up something that is we enjoy or something that is a part of us, but we do not want to yield. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you feel God talking to you, calling you higher, trying to sanctify an area of your life, obey. My encouragement to you is to yield. Because what God has in store for you is always better. And at the end of the day, it always comes down to this when we sin. We don't believe that God has a better design or plan for us than we can for ourselves. And if you think about it, every time, you know, we go astray, when you boil down all the motivations and reasons, it comes down to that. You know, we trust ourselves more. We want to rely on our own understanding. But we wouldn't find fulfillment like this. We wouldn't find the joy which God promises us like this, apart from him. Because true joy, true fulfillment, true living is only found in Christ. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, you might be wondering, you know, what that holds in store for you. I can tell you it's going to be the greatest adventure of your life. Everything wouldn't magically become easy. You would still have problems. You would still have challenges. But you would have God to go through those challenges with you. You would be birthed into a new family. And you would be able to walk with the power and the victory of God. But it starts with you taking down the walls and softening your heart and being willing to listen. Being willing to actively listen and let the word of God, the seed of God, take root, investigate it, find out what it's about. Seek God and you will find him. The next kind of seed fell among rocks. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. Jesus tells us that sometimes we receive the word, we listen to things, and we receive it with joy. You know, we are happy. We know the sweetness of the word of God and we receive it and we are excited, you know. And then what? We go out and the moment hardships come our way, we cast aside all we've learned. We never give it time to take root in our hearts. We don't meditate on the word. We don't dwell on it. And, you know, we listen to sermons or we read the word and we're going, amen, you know, like preach. But then you step out and, you know, someone wrongs you and you start cursing again like there was no yesterday. Or we get into the car, you know, and you fight all the way to the church and you enter and it's like, good morning, God bless you. And, you know, oh, wonderful day. And then you enter the car and fight away all the way back home. This is not the kind of hearing that God has in mind for us. What is the condition of your mind? When you hear the word of God, do you allow it to change you? Because that is up to you. If when you hear the word of God, you're going to take it in, you're going to internalize it and ask God and dwell on it and ask God to use it to transform your heart. Because otherwise, it's just going to be a sweet message. The Bible tells us, you know, they received this message with joy. It was good. And you know these things are true, right? It's not like they weren't sincere. They were. But the moment things got hard, the moment the next trial, the moment the next difficulty came along, they cast aside all that they had heard. The moment you step on the rocks in life, then it becomes inconsequential, the word of God. We listen to sermons that talk about forgiveness. But when we go out, we're like, no, I'm not going to let them take advantage of me just because I'm a Christian, you know, and we hold grudges. We bear ill will towards people. And it's not easy. I am the first person to admit it's a journey we are all on, right? We will all stumble. But the question is, are you making the effort? Are you trusting God to walk in His word, to guide you and to strengthen you? So that you can begin to put that word into practice. Because the Bible tells us, if we hear the word and we don't put it into practice, we only deceive ourselves. God is not deceived. He knows our actions. He knows our hearts. But if we hear the word and we put it into practice, then we are blessed. Then we begin to grow. The next soil, which Jesus talks about, is thorny hearing. And I think this is one which is also particularly relevant in our world today. So the Bible says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Now, when we hear the word thorny ground, we immediately think about, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I think about negative things. Thorns, you know, which prick your finger, and it's not a nice feeling, and you're like, oh yeah, this is the difficulties, and this is the hard things, and that choke you up. But it's not just the life's worries. It's not just the hardships. The Bible tells us that it's also the riches and the pleasures. All of those are the thorns. How do you deal with the thorns in life? You know, nowadays, you know, you can be distracted from the moment you wake up till the moment you go to sleep, round the clock. You know, it's like you have your phone. It's like every minute that you just feel a little bit bored, you know, there's some stream of something that you can open and start browsing. And instead of that quiet time, maybe you replaced it with something else, you know, the TV or, you know, there's all kinds of shows for all kinds of tastes. And those are not bad things, you know, don't get me wrong. But they are riches and pleasures, which if not kept in check, will prevent the word of God from taking root in your heart. And just last week for me, I was like, I was traveling for work, and came back after work, and you know, just spent some time reading the Bible and meditating and praying, and had a really great time. I was thinking about the sermon, and normally I have a book which I read, you know, before sleep, like whatever I'm currently reading. But I was traveling, I didn't have it with me, so it's like, okay, just after a quiet time, I just lay in bed and like, okay, the remote is there, you pick it up in the hotel and you start zapping, right? One channel after the next, one channel after the next. And in that moment, I just had like the conviction of the Spirit, like, this is exactly it. This is exactly what it is about. You know, I just had this great time, you know, like, and instead of letting that word just soak in my heart, just dwell on it and think about it and meditate on it, I was, you know, just there clicking, one channel after the next. And just, for me, it was just like that moment when I was just, you just get arrested by God. It's like, this is it. And for how many of us, it's the same. You know, it could be a TV, it could be a phone. It could be anything. It could be just, you know, a phone call. Innocent things, things that in and of themselves have their place. But we never let the Word of God dwell in us to meditate upon it, to think about it, and to resolve to apply it to our lives. We just, you know, put the Word of God in our minds. It's sweet, it's great, we know that. And then the next thing just comes along and flushes it out. And, you know, the next thing and the next thing. And your mind is just this super highway of, you know, one bit of information after the next. And then you can't really hear the voice of God because we are distracted. How do you hear? Do you take the time to listen? Do you take the time to allow the Word of God to transform your heart, to dwell in it? And how can we do that? How can we actively listen? Jesus gives us an example in the good soil by telling us that the last type, the seed on good soil, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I looked up the meaning of retain in the dictionary just to be sure, because there's three characteristics that Jesus lists. So they hear the word, they retain it, they persevere, and they produce a crop. And retain, I found, like, to keep in possession or use, to keep in mind or memory, to hold secure or intact. Do you do these things with the Word of God? Do you keep it in possession and in use? Do you apply it to everyday situations? Or is the Word of God the Sunday thing or my quiet time thing? You know, like I have this hour of the day when, you know, it's for the Word of God, or and then the Sunday morning. And then after that, it's like, you know, you're riding on your own strength. Do you apply the Word of God to your situations? Do you memorize Scripture to keep in mind and memory? Because only when we memorize Scripture, when we keep it in our hearts, do we give the Holy Spirit a chance to bring that up when we are finding difficulties, when we are discouraged, when we can't see a way further. Then the Holy Spirit brings those memories back to us, brings His Word back alive in our hearts. And when you're facing a situation where you feel like reacting in a way that wouldn't honor God, and you can feel God bringing a Scripture to your mind that admonishes you, maybe to listen a bit more before you speak. Or maybe to just be calm and to respond gently or to respond with love. That only happens when we listen in the way that Jesus described for the good soil. When we retain the Word of God to keep it in possession and in use, to keep it in mind or memory, and to hold it secure and intact. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, "This word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything that is written in it." The Lord gave the children of Israel lots of rituals, like lots of ceremonies, lots of holidays. And there's a purpose for this, right? They're not just meant to be legalistic. When you read, whenever God instituted a new holiday for the children of Israel, He told them, celebrate this day every year like this. And I want you to do this and this. And when your children ask you, why do we do this? Explain to them how the Lord your God was faithful. Explain to them why this is why we celebrate this. And by having this physical reminders, this celebration reminders, the people were able to constantly have the opportunity to reflect on the Word of God, to reflect on His goodness, to dwell on it. Because time over time, we forget. We forget the Scriptures. We are prone to do it. The children of Israel did it, and we do it. And sometimes, you know, we're reading the Scripture, and, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I used to read like that. I'm like, come on. Like, in the previous chapter, God just, you know, split the sea into two. And how can the people in the next chapter be already like, where is God? There is no God. And like, you know, but there was time in between. You know, the Bible, we read one chapter and it's like, you know, 20 years later, you know, it's a comma in the Bible. There's time in between. And we do the same thing. We forget the goodness of God. How many times have you been faced by difficulty and all of a sudden you're worrying and fretting and, you know, just forgetting how the Lord was good to you, how the Lord was faithful. It's the same thing we do. And so by dwelling on the Word of God, by remembering the Lord's goodness, we can be able to walk steadfast. We can be able to walk every day according to his will. The Bible tells us that the people hear the word of God, they retained it, they persevere in it. Because trials will come, right? The difficult moments will come when we can't see a way forward, when it gets difficult to even pray because we don't know what to pray for. And you just sit in the presence of God and you can't utter a word. But then you can allow the word of God, you can allow God to speak into our hearts. You can allow fellow Christians to pray for and with us, to strengthen us, and to make alive the word of God which we have deposited in our hearts. And when we persevere in it, we produce a crop. So by persevering, produce a crop. And when Jesus was telling the parable, he says they produce a crop 100-fold. Because we bear fruit when we have patience. In James, the Bible tells us trials will come. And that by the testing of our faith, it produces patience. Do you actively listen to the word of God? How is your hearing? What do you do with the word of God when you hear it? Or when you're going about your day and God speaks to you and teaches you something in an example? I don't know, but like many times for me, it's happening a lot with my little niece. I have a little niece. She's 2 years old. And the sweetest thing, you know, and running around. And a lot of times I find God speaking to me through her. And I'm sure she's oblivious to that is happening. But a lot of times it's just that example that God keeps showing me. It's like, you know, this thing happens and she comes back, or like, and God is reminding me of how he loves us the same way, and how, you know, he's going to go the extra mile for us, how he's patient for us. And you might have those in your life as well. You know, in different circumstances, God is speaking to you. Do you allow him to touch your heart? Do you take that word? Do you write it down? Do you internalize it? Or is it just, you know, another thing that comes into your mind and then like, 5 minutes later, we are on to the next thing. How do you listen? Take care how you listen. And just as the Lord instituted a lot of holidays and rituals for the children of Israel, I think we can learn a lot from that today as well. In instituting for ourselves certain rituals that we have, you know, like whatever it is that works for you. You know, if you're an evening person, if it's, you know, setting aside an evening ritual of like, I don't know, just 15 minutes, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. Or if you're someone who spends time in front of a mirror, having a new verse on the mirror every day, or whatever it is that works for you. If you have a long commute to work, you know, always making sure you have a fresh, you know, audio to listen to or teaching. But I think we can benefit a lot from instituting in our own lives rituals, which are not meant to be legalistic. You know, you're not supposed to then feel condemned the moment, you know, you forget one time to pray before you sleep or pray before you eat your food or whatever. But these rituals, I think, have value in that they allow us to be consistent. They allow us to remember the word of God. They allow us to, they give us space to set aside some minutes to reflect on the word of God. And by building a habit, we can become consistent. And when we are consistent, it becomes our character. So what habits are you forming that can help you to be a better listener? What habits do you have in your life that can help you to internalize the word of God, to retain it, so that we can be able to remember it when the difficult times come, so that we might persevere and produce good fruit? That is my encouragement to you today. Just like any physical skill we develop, you know, if you go to the gym regularly, you know, when you keep going regularly, you develop muscle. And the more you use the muscle, the better you get at it. It's the same thing with listening to the word of God. It's the same thing with developing the skill of our senses. The more we develop that sense of listening, of being attuned to God, being attuned to the word of God, the more we hear God. The more we become more sensitive to his voice, the more we begin to see him in the little details of our life. And that's why Jesus tells us, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Because whoever has, more will be given. As you use that muscle, as you train that sense of listening, of hearing the word of God, retaining it, persevering in it, repeating it to yourself day and night, as the scripture says, the more you become sensitive to listening to what God has to say. The more you become attuned to God's Spirit. As the Bible says, walk in step with the Spirit. But whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. We never stagnate in our walk with Christ. We never attain a level and keep it. And if we are not growing, we are coasting. We are going downhill. And going up always takes effort, right? It's when you have to move, roll a stone uphill, you know, you're going to need more effort. And the moment it's relaxed and everything is, you know, you're not putting the effort anymore, chances are high that you're coasting, you're going downhill. Whoever has more will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what you think you have will be taken. So how do you listen? What kind of soil are you? Does the word of God make an impact in your life? Or do you receive it with joy and then forget it as soon as the next distraction or the next trial comes? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, O God, which you have promised will not return void, but that when it goes out, O God, it's going to accomplish the purpose for which you sent. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us and reminding us that we must be better listeners, that we can take your word and meditate on it and dwell on it so that we might grow. Father, help us, O God. Give us the grace to become better listeners. Give us the grace, O God, to not harden our hearts towards you, but to listen to you. Because it is you, O God, who works in us, making us willing and able to obey your purposes. Therefore, Father, as we go from here, O God, may your word dwell in our hearts. May we meditate on it. May we put it into practice, O God, so that we may become more godly, so that we may become more like you, sanctified every day. Thank you, O God, for your graciousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.